Niall McNamee, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Ray. How you doing?
Good to see you.
Good to see you too, man.
You were in town for the Ruby Sessions last night. I've heard about the Ruby Sessions. I've never attended. What's special about it?
Oh, it's great. I mean, I've been following it online for ages, but they basically get three acts from Ireland or anywhere really, and then have a crowd that's kind of just sitting, and the crowd don't know who's going to be there on the night. They just buy their tickets,
which is cool.
I mean, fair play. I mean,
it's sort of like the Tommy Tiernan show of gigs.
That's exactly how they should be billing it. Yeah, yeah. But it's great because immediately you kind of go. There's a similar thing called So Far Sounds, which has come over here, but it was in England a lot. And,
yeah.
And immediately you're like, right, this crowd are real music lovers. Then if they're to buy a ticket, not knowing who you're going to see. They're all
it's a risk.
They've automatically got a good attitude, a better attitude than I'd have, I'd have to say.
And it's a risk for you as well, because
so
where were you in the bill, first, second, or third?
I was last.
You were last.
I was closing off the show.
Right.
No, it is a risk, but I don't know. I kind of like it. You know?
Do you have a Fred Cook type character saying, "And now, ladies and gentlemen, Niall McNamee"?
Yeah, you do, and they do the little intro and all that.
So they know who you are.
Yeah, but it's only four songs, which is quite a short. You know, it's a difficult amount of songs to get people to know who you are. But yeah.
We were chatting there before we went on, and you're also an actor.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So you were telling me that you fought Jackie Chan in The Foreigner.
Yeah.
You've also featured in Bad Sisters.
Yeah.
And then I said to you, have you seen In the Land of Saints and Sinners? And you said...
I said, well, I auditioned for it, and so I have to build up to watch it.
Cause I didn't get the part.
Do you know what, though? You have to get over it, because the amount of things I auditioned for, I love television, but I won't be able to watch anything. I really wouldn't. And sometimes I'll be watching something and I'll forget that I'm in it, and then I'll be hearing a scene and I'll go, that sounds very familiar. And I'll go, well, that's the thing I never heard back on. So it's all good fun.
You obviously know which character you auditioned for, would you?
I can't remember. I think I auditioned for a couple. Yeah.
You'll be watching that, be going, that could have been, should have been.
Yeah. When they say, here's three roles, go for them, you go, they've not thought this through, they're not that bothered. If it's one role, you go, maybe they've thought he'll be perfect for it.
Yeah. Because you're Dundalk.
My family's
Dundalk. And it's set in Donegal.
Yeah. I've had a couple of Donegal acts. The other day I had two auditions on the same day, and I had to do Donegal and Birmingham. I left with a headache.
Well, here's the question. For an international audience, would they know the difference between a Dundalk and a Donegal accent?
Perhaps not.
No.
Actually, do you know what? You were talking about Bad Sisters. When I auditioned for that, I got a call on the phone, and it was from Sharon Horgan. And that never happens. I hadn't heard back from my agent or whatever. And she said, I'm just calling you. Like, I think the role might be yours, pretty much. But in the tape, I'd gone really, like, really strong Dundalk.
Oh, yeah.
And she'd said, it's going to be an international audience. I just wanted to check if that was your real accent. And if it is, can you make it more understandable? Because the Americans won't get it. And I was like, no, absolutely. I can do whatever you like. I know. I can speak in whatever voice you like. And then that was it, yeah.
I could be an announcer from the BBC in 1960, if you like.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, wonderful.
That wasn't nice to get her. That was good, wasn't it? She's obviously hands-on.
Oh, yeah. Well, I wasn't expecting... I was pretty much like, and there's another role that didn't go to me. And then I got a call and there she was.
How do you cope with that, the rejection?
You go through phases. I think it's harder at the start, but then do you know what the key is? It's to not care about it enough that you just do a good job, but still care about it enough to do a good job.
That's like most things in life, isn't it?
For sure, it's a hard balance.
Because caring too much can upset your performance.
Oh, there's about twice a year. There's something I won't talk about it today, but there's a heartbreak twice a year with something that you just go. You know, playing heroes of yours or something like that, you know. Yeah.
And you are lucky that you have music to fall back on.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I wish I had a doctorate to fall back on or something like that. Like, I don't know where doctorate.
But you can sing and play the guitar.
Yeah. Oh, it's like, grand. No, it's brilliant. And I can do that whenever I want is the good thing. So,
And then the confluence of your skill set is going to come along, isn't it?
They come together often.
Yeah, you know, where they go, we need an actor who can sing and play guitar.
Yeah.
That narrows the field.
It does kind of.
Then male, certain age. Own hair, own teeth. You know what you're down to about.
For now. Never say never.
What are you going to sing for us?
I'm going to sing a song called Magpie with a Mullet. I'm releasing a live version of it next Friday.
Right.
And it's a brand new song.
Yeah, and give us a bit of context on it.
So my heart was broken and I was in Westport and there was this... I was looking around for stuff to do in Westport Harbour. There's John Lennon's Island and lighthouses and stuff. And then I saw this magpie that had this mullet. Mm-hmm. And And it was just, it just followed me around everywhere. And it was like every time I was looking at swimming or something, it was like the magpie was going, God, she'd love this, wouldn't she? And I, you know, started writing about this demonic magpie. It's by far the strangest song I've ever written.
She. Who's the magpie or somebody?
No, the heartbreak.
Oh, the heartbreak. Yeah. Oh, yeah, right.
The magpie was like a symbol.
Right. And saying, like, if only she was here, she would love this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because she likes animals and birds and stuff. So I was like, you know, but it was, the magpie's a bit of a demon, you know, he's going, this would be great.
Taunting you.
Yeah, do you know what I mean?
Taunting you.
Now, I've since heard that their magpies don't exist. No. I was about to say magpies don't exist. Apparently not so much. That'd be a hell of a place to do a conspiracy theory. They're lying to you, folks. Magpies don't exist. No, apparently there's not that many magpies around Westport, so it might have been a blackbird, but sure.
All right.
A magpie with a mullet has a better ring to it.
It does, so, yes. There's a bit of alliteration there. Yeah. Right, magpie with a mullet.
Got it from the town before me, head is spitting steam, and the wheels and I am spinning from the girl of all my dreams. When the magpie with a mullet tapped upon the weapon screen. Down in Westport Harbour, there's a wreck of things to do. There's a shop on Lennon's Island, and there's time to think of you. There's a liner's and a boxing club on an island sunset too. There's a magpie with a mullet, and he talks of only you.
Feckin' magpie, huh?
Yeah.
I was at Ruby Session last night. Never heard of Niall before. He was brilliant. Great singer, great songwriter, and great crack. He sang his song about his granddad from Clonus. You sang that before for us here, didn't you?
Yeah, Clonus Fireman. Yeah. I'm releasing that later this year.
Niall McNamee is going to stay with us, and he's going to sing us out before the end of the show. For the moment, Niall, thanks very much. Thank
you. Cheers, Ray. Thank you.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
That's exciting, isn't it?
It's crazy.
Niall, yeah. It's,
like, I didn't hear anything about it until I was walking in and they said, oh, Ray's talk, there's been a portal opened up between Dublin and New York. And I went, what? That's incredible news. And I'm just about getting my head around it now.
Yeah, somebody's saying there, can you step through the portal and arrive in New York like Star Trek?
They should do New York and Cavan or somewhere like that. That'd be more interesting as a switch. You know, I don't know what I'd say to my father or my mother. I mean,
no, you can't talk.
Oh, you can't talk?
Wait, no.
Oh, that'd be great.
No, you can hold up signs.
Okay.
There's no sound.
Okay, grand.
Just visuals. I like the idea as well. I don't know if you heard, Nicholas, that we were talking to. There's no recording.
Okay.
It's live.
Right.
It's gone. So it's like looking through a window.
That's good. Yeah.
Now, I suppose you can hold up your phone, you can record it, but there's no, they don't have this big hard drive that's recording everything.
No, that's nice. It is.
There's probably GDPR implications if you did do that.
Oh yeah, sure, you've been told.
Yeah, but then CCTV, you don't have to have a GDPR. Anyway, there you go. I'll have to look into that. So you're back. You can go. Have you got people in New York?
No, I've no one in New York.
Have you not?
No. Well, strangely enough, no. I can't think of anyone in the States that I have, actually.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you're
people
younger,
in Canada.
You're a younger generation.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
No,
thank
I was
you.
Saying earlier on, I have a brother and a sister there. But
oh,
they,
do you?
Yeah, my brother went over in the 80s.
Yeah. No, all mine are Australian, Canada,
yeah.
And London, and the Midlands in England. You know?
Yeah, the shine went off America for people.
It did, yeah.
Did you ever, you didn't move anywhere yourself?
London. Yeah,
yes,
I moved to London, but I've been there for so long now, it feels like home in a sense. But then I come here and it feels far away, you know.
And the old accent comes out and Sharon Horgan rings you to go, are you that Dundalk?
Yeah.
What are you going to sing us out on?
I'm going to sing False in Prison by Johnny Cash.
Oh, great.
I hear the train a-coming, it's rolling round the bend. And I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison and time keeps dragging on. Hang my head and cry.
What a man.
Me or Johnny Cash?
Niall McNamee. Niall McNamee. Bothy.
Yeah,
Bothy.
It's fair to say we're both grand.
Your first song struck a chord with Carmel.
Carmel.
She says, talking about magpies with mullets. Great song, by the way. Mm. Can you mention my neighbour, Carol? This is Carmel talking about Carol.
She's saying she looks like a magpie with a mullet.
No.
Okay.
Carol in Beaumont Woods, who bravely came to my rescue when a magpie came in the front door of my house when I was home alone. My instinct was to run to my neighbour for help. Without hesitation, she grabbed her sweeping brush and ran swiftly into my front room, opened the front window and hooshed the creature out. Some wingspan. Or maybe it was his mullet. Jeez. And she did all that while I watched from outside. The Magpie Award goes to Carol, great neighbour. That's Carol.
Getting, I never realised there was, it's obviously a pandemic, these magpies, and yeah, this is the break.
We have a few, and they get up very early in the morning and they make a racket.
Yeah, well, a few's not a problem, is it? It's one. One is the sorrow. Danger. Yeah, yeah.
Do you believe that? Well, in your case.
Well, in that moment, yeah. Yes. But yeah, then it might have been a crow or something as well, so I don't know.
Yeah. Niall McNamee, great to see you. Good luck with everything, and thanks for entertaining.